Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to the fourth chapter of Luke. Just by my count, I have, if you call them a series, or been on a topic kind of. This is the 10th week. There are many subjects of the Bible that you could spend probably a year on and not exhaust, but we'll just follow God in what we're doing here. And what we've been talking about is the gospel, good news. If you think back 10 weeks to where we started, we just had said that the gospel, that word gospel in the Bible, means good news. It just means good news. And there's all kinds of good news in the Word of God, all kinds of good news that was preached and taught. And my point is this: we need to teach and preach what the Bible taught, what Jesus taught, what Paul, Peter, James, and John taught, or for that matter, you can look at Isaiah and many of the Old Testament prophets as well and see the things that they taught. When we stray from the gospel into something that may seem good, some people describe things this way. Some is a social gospel about, hey, it's all about taking care of people. Well, taking care of people is important, and it's part of the gospel, but it is not the gospel. So the priorities would be, what did Jesus say about each of these things? And stay with that, and not change it up. I had referenced last week something that I heard someone say describing the church in America today. There's three kinds of churches. And I couldn't remember the third one last week, if you might remember. Well, I remembered it in the middle of the week. So churches will today probably fit in one of these three. And you get to choose which one you go to, or I guess in my case, which one I want to be. But there is, first of all, the truth church, going to preach the truth. And when I say preach the truth, Jesus himself said, your word is truth, the word of God. So I know that I'm not 100% right about everything. And I know brother whomever is not 100% right about anything. We're all growing and learning. But as I find something in the Word, if something I thought or believed or was raised up to believe or whatever, if there's a contradiction between what I find in the Word and the tradition of church I grew up in, well, I'm going to go with the Word. And so to this day, my heart is open to learn and to be instructed from the Word of God. And, you know, I've been seriously studying the Word and so on now for 40 years or something like that, you know, a little less than 40. But I don't know everything, still growing. But if one's heart is seeking truth, you're always ready to listen, to hear, consider, and go perhaps, I guess I need to see that different than what I did. Anybody in here, by show of hands, you've learned something in the last year or two that you didn't know before? Yeah. Okay, that's a lot of hands. Mine too. The series we did on Ask, Seek, Knock, that just kind of knocked my socks off. You know, that was something new from the Lord. And I heard Pastor Webb teach on it a little bit again. But anyway, we've been looking, the three kinds of churches. I was on that, right? Truth. The next one is, they're all T words, the terrified church. So afraid of what people are going to say, what they're going to think. You know, somebody once told me about getting a bad review for our church. And I told them, don't worry about it. We're going to get those, you know. Did it bother me? For a few minutes, it did. You know, you almost want to go, who was that and what did they say? And then I realized, there ain't no purpose in that, you know. The terrified church, terrified to talk about certain things. We've got modern issues that are contrary to the Scripture, that there's all kinds of pressure for the church to accommodate and accept, but they're contrary to the teachings of the Bible. Therefore, the answer is no. That's not good. That's not acceptable. The terrified church. And, of course, not just recent things, but How long has it been that the church is terrified to talk about money, offerings, that God wants to prosper you, meet your needs, take you to abundance? You know, people get weird when you talk about money. Yet there's an awful lot of the Bible that deals with the subject of money. Money reveals the heart. So that's one of those things, you know, how you handle offerings. And don't talk about offerings too much. And by the way, that's one of the criticisms, is he talks about money too much, you know. Well, it's a pretty important subject in your life, isn't it? Is there a day that goes by where you don't have to sort of think about your financial situation, keeping the bills paid and all of that? So it's integral to this life. And we need God's perspective on money, on that. So that's one of the things that terrified. And then, of course, any talk about sex. I've shared some things privately with some people, and they have told me, oh, Pastor, that needs to be taught in the church. And maybe there's still a measure of terrified in me. Talk about that. But anyway, Bible talks about such things a good bit, right? And so the terrified church, you can't talk about modern lifestyles and ideas and so on. Can't touch that stuff, you know. Even some things, see, I'm feeling it myself. I pause before I say it. Some of the stuff in churches about race is off. And we should have God's balance. We lost people back 2-3 years ago when all of the, what was that guy, George Floyd stuff was going on, the riots and so on. And I had said, you know, when you talk about your people are the believers. And then what racial makeup there is secondary or third or fourth or something like that. Amen. Lost people over that. So the truth-telling church, the terrified church, and the other one is the traitorous church. Traitorous. What is a traitor? One who betrays one who betrays the Lord. When you start changing the Bible, when you start changing doctrine, when you invent your own things, so to speak, and there are churches that do those things, you know, and it may be because they were terrified, so they became traitorous, changed doctrines and so on from the Bible and all of that. So, and some of those churches attack other churches. I'm not attacking other churches right now. I'm just saying the target is truth. And I want to go in that direction. How about you? And I need to resist changing doctrine to fit the times. Any Christian that says, well, yeah, but this is the, you know, what is it? This is the 2020s. I mean, come on. I've been hearing that since this is the 70s. And if I was more aware in the 60s, I probably would have been hearing it then. That was a tumultuous decade there, the 1960s. I was just a child at that time. But anyway, so people are always saying that, you know, come on, Pastor, get with it, man. All of that. So that leads to a traitorous church. Don't want to be those two. Want to be a church telling truth. Jesus himself experienced the loss of followers. And if you are a truth-telling church, you could experience loss of followers. If you, as an individual, you're following for truth, you could lose friends over some things. I'm not saying you got to go pick a fight, but if they find out what you believe, they'll pick a fight with you. Amen. Because they feel, I guess, condemnation. They know it's wrong, but they want to, anyway. So we're here reviewing what is the gospel, what is the good news. And we've started with what did Jesus himself teach. That's what we should be teaching. And we've taken the last few weeks here a guide from what he said about himself from Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Jesus tells us his calling, what it is, his purpose, what he's about. He tells us what he's called to preach, And he lists, this is not comprehensive, but he lists some of the things from Isaiah's prophecy that he was sent to do. And so if Jesus preached these things, I've been going line by line, clause by clause, teaching what Jesus taught. And it's been beneficial these last few weeks. I've seen fruit of that, and we've experienced blessing from God. But reading verse 18, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Now, let's just stop there for a second. Years ago, I was a youth minister. That's a good while ago. But anyway, as a youth minister, I picked up a guitar, lead a little bit of singing with the youth group that I had, and many times the presence of God, the anointing of God would come in to our little gathering there with the teenagers. And the senior pastor caught wind of it and eventually made me the worship leader of the whole church. But I would teach those kids all the time, the anointing doesn't come for no reason. That may be poor English, but said otherwise, when the anointing comes, there's a purpose and there's a reason. And it is, I don't have time to develop this today, it is not an endorsement of the person. It's an endorsement of the message being preached. There's a purpose for the anointing. Jesus knows that. That's why he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Why? Because he's Jesus? No. Because there's a purpose and there's a mission. And if he meets the mission, the presence, the anointing, the manifestation of God will be upon it. If Jesus needed that, so do I. So if I want to be an anointed believer, an anointed preacher, what do I need to do? Find out for what purpose I am to open my mouth. Or for what purpose am I alive and breathing air on this earth? And fulfill that purpose. And the anointing of God will come upon that word or those actions. So the anointing, it has reason to come. And if we were to have a church service, and it may vary from person to person, but there are some services where I go home as a preacher and go, "Oh, that was just awful." Why? I didn't feel like I sensed any anointing upon that. And I may have missed it entirely. I may have said some things that are true, but, you know, if I just picked the wrong direction and wrong purpose and God wanted this, it won't carry the anointing that same way. So if the anointing just breaks open a powerful presence in a service and people are helped and it's wonderful, well, praise God that we met his purpose. You know, it's not, "Oh, Pastor Dan, he really had it today." No, I just followed well. Amen. Amen. And here comes Pastor Sandy making her grand entrance. She's getting better and better. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Overcoming. Amen. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. We talked about that a little bit. I won't repeat just for the sake of time. And next it says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, that was a powerful service when we went on that one. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. And that was what we went over last week. And when it says recovery of sight to the blind, that's a physical issue. That's a needs a healing in the body. That's something wrong with the physical body. And we just stayed with healing the blind last week. But as we said, it's representative of everything, anything that might be wrong with the body. The Lord's not healing just blind eyes. And you could go through the Gospels and see that. And the lame, you know, the woman bent over, woman with the issue of blood. There's all kinds of things. And some 19 healing miracles in the Gospel, they're just representative. They are not the complete. John wrote, if everything that Jesus said and did was written, there wouldn't be enough room in all the books of the world to contain it. So there was so much more. So we were talking about physical healing of the body last week. So here we are now to set at liberty those who are oppressed. to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus states that his purpose and his mission is to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, we made note last week, if we could put the 18th, we still have the 18th? Yeah. Notice, because he's anointed me to preach, sent me to heal, to proclaim, and to set at liberty. So it says to preach and to proclaim, and set is going to, well, we'll get to that. Much of the mission of Jesus was to preach and proclaim, and it required people act on what they hear. He didn't just heal people. He didn't just go in and change situations, but he would preach the Word of God. He would preach, and if people believed, they would reap a great result. And Jesus said several things to several people, you know, according to your faith be it unto you. He said all things are possible to him who believes. So even the mission of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, much of it was simply to proclaim, and then it's up to the person. Amen. That's the point I'm trying to make here. My job as a, for instance, being called of the Lord is to proclaim and to teach and to preach. And then whether or not people reap benefit from them might come down to, do they believe or not? Do they act on that word? So same with Jesus. The anointing comes to proclaim, to preach. And so from time to time, we said this last week, you know, people will say, well, if you believe God heals, if you believe you can lay hands on people, as it says in Mark 16, Jesus said, and heal the sick, they shall recover. Well, why don't you just go down to the hospital and just empty out the hospital? Well, Jesus himself didn't do that. Jesus himself couldn't do that. He needed a leading of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, same thing would be true of us. Without a leading of God, it's just the Bible says it. No, it takes a little more than that, especially if it's something serious. We can always pray the prayer of faith. In James, it tells us the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders. The anointing of, and the elders anoint him with oil, right? But then it says next, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Hopefully the elders can pray the prayer of faith, right? And that has to do with when you'd like a little help. You're believing, standing, asking God, and you need a little bit more. So just the point being this, to say to any preacher, whoa, if you're really a preacher and God's really with you, you know, just heal everybody. It doesn't work like that. It didn't even work like that for Jesus. Amen. Amen. So back to where we are for this week. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Oppressed. What's the word oppressed mean? Somebody was pointing out on a little thing that I saw this week, you know, they said 50 years. It may be a little longer than that, but we still feel like in the United States of America, life is difficult, life is tough, hard, all of that. They said, go back 50 years, and people didn't have hot showers. We've got folk in the room here that probably grew up without hot water unless somebody put a pot on the stove. So now, you know, I'm thinking, if I ever build another house, there's going to be a bathroom for every bedroom. Right? But if you go back, we're in such a privileged and blessed time. To think that we are living a hard life in oppression, go back 100 years what people endured and so on, you know. I grew up 3-bedroom ranch house for a good part of the time with 1 bathroom. Everybody shared the 1 bathroom, right? That was normal. And maybe some still that way. But there's more and more an expectation that everybody gets their own bathroom, right? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying the feeling that you're being oppressed. I mean, we have more people that are mentally challenged, psychologically challenged than ever before. Yet in many respects, life is easier than it's ever been before. So it says that he's come to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So I'm basically declaring whatever oppression we have, it's nothing compared to past days, one could say. On the other hand, when it stresses you, it stresses you. And so I'm not going to say oppression is only things in bygone days that were really, really difficult. But could it be in modern life as well? Sure, it could be. The word oppressed there in the Greek language, oppressed means to be downtrodden. Downtrodden, just you feel like you're beat down. Feel like you're beat down. Probably everybody has times when they feel like they're beat down, just depending on what you're going through. And again, kind of relative, but you know, just some situations, even in my house this week with a caregiver and taking care of Pastor Sandy and so on, I felt that downtrodden stuff coming back upon me, feeling beat up and down and pressure and all that kind of thing. And I have learned, and I'm going to share more of it today, but I have learned you turn to the Lord with that. Why? Because he came to set me free from that. But it means to be downtrodden or to be broken in pieces. There are a lot of broken people around. And again, some things are severe. Some are thought to be severe. You know, it's relative. But when it's real to somebody, it's real to somebody, you know. So set at liberty the downtrodden, the broken in pieces. Before we go further, very interesting, it says to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The word set, when I read this word set in English, you know, pick that up and set it over here. It implies that someone will move it, do the work, that the thing just kind of hangs out until somebody moves it, implying Jesus would pick somebody up in oppressed state and put them in a liberty state. But that word in Greek doesn't mean that. Yeah, this is why you check some of these things, these key words. Here's what it means. It means, in the original language, to send someone out, implying a particular purpose. So when Jesus sets you and I at liberty, he sends us from oppression out of oppression to an intended purpose of his. From this, now it's only implied, but I could develop a whole scriptural case for it, I'm sure. If you don't go to the purpose for which you're sent and fulfill that, you remain downtrodden and in oppression. That's pretty big stuff. We'd like to just be free of troubles and able to do as we please. But if we're sent out with purpose, and that's how we're free from being beat down and oppression, we need to fulfill that purpose. I'm sure it'd be preferable for all of us. Lord, just set me free from troubles. Just eliminate my troubles. And I'm just going to be my happy self, pursuing every little thing that my heart desires. And I just, you know, strange things happen in my brain sometimes. But a song came up, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Right? Who was that? 1980s? Anyway. Don't you want to just have fun? Jesus, set me free from my troubles so I can have some fun. Right? No. The setting free is being sent out from oppression with a purpose. Sent out from oppression with a purpose. That's pretty amazing. Side note, better know what the purpose is. Better know why you're sent out. Amen. If you don't know that, you're going to stay beat down. I don't know about you, but to me, life without purpose and some sense of accomplishing purpose and some value in what I'm doing, just remaining upon the earth, just eating food and taking in air and exhaling and just being around, it's not enough. It's not enough. There needs to be purpose and value. And if you ever want to know what frustrates Pastor Dan, it's the sense of, come on, I want to get going and accomplishing some things. I want to finish out our building. You know, I want to teach people the word. Once a week teaching the word is not enough for me. We have challenges inside our church. Most churches do. Why don't we have more services a week like we used to? One reason, help in the children's department. That's it. I don't want to burn out the same few people with more services. That's always a difficulty. So, you know, there are people that would come Wednesday, Sunday night. We used to do that. But, you know, don't ask me to take a turn in the nursery or something like that. God bless those of you who do. Pastor blesses you in Jesus' name. May God pour out on you abundance and blessing so that there's not room enough to contain it. We thank you. I thank you for that. Amen. That's your service to the Lord. That is a service to the Lord, a very important one. But to be sent out with purpose, that is the key to escaping that beat down feeling. Amen. And if it seems like the enemy is getting one over on you over and over and over again, better look here. There's a sending that you're not going. Amen. And when we, you need an example? One word, Jonah. There you go. He was sent out with purpose. And he said, I don't think so. And he got a little oppressed and downtrodden. Amen. And a little bit tore up from the stomach acid of a fish. It is said in history that Nineveh, when he finally spewed out on land, dry land, went to Nineveh and preached, first of all, they had folklore that said one day someone's going to come, a preacher's coming from the ocean and will preach to Nineveh. They believed that somehow or another. I don't know how they did. But it's also said that after 3 days in a fish, his skin was so tore up that he looked otherworldly. And, you know, he couldn't walk by anybody without catching their attention. And just imagine, what happened to you? Repent! It was his invitation to preach, right? Yeah. Anyway, sent out with a purpose, chose otherwise, and oppression came to him. Amen. So sent out. Let's ask this question. How can someone be oppressed or downtrodden if they're born again, saved, going to live forever with Jesus? I mean, we should be the happiest, the lightest walking, most joy-filled, exuberant people on the face of the earth. Amen? Yet for sometimes, some of us, maybe sometimes all of us, you know, we just can't get going? It seems like encouragement's far away and all that kind of thing. How can that be? Well, let's take an honest look at a couple of things. I kind of already said, don't go to your purpose, and you'll see what happens. But let's go to Deuteronomy 28, and we'll start at the 28th verse. If you'll remember Deuteronomy 28, this is where just before the children of Israel go into the promised land, the Lord says, if you will diligently hearken unto my voice and obey all the commands I give you this day, I will bless you in the land to which I... And then for 14 verses announces the blessing. You're blessed coming in, blessed going out. You're blessed in a city. You're blessed in a country. You're blessed in your breadbasket and in your store. You're blessed in the fruit of your womb, and so on and so on and so on. All them blessings. But then about, I think it's the 15th verse, he says, but if you will not diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and heed all of his commandments, all these curses shall come upon you. And then starts listing all kinds of things, including the itch from which you cannot be healed. I don't know what that is, and I don't ever want to have the itch from which you cannot be healed. If you read the old King James Bible, it says imarods, and I had to have a Bible teacher tell me one time, imarods, what's that? Oh, that's hemorrhoids. Curse. That's a curse, right? Well, that don't sound like no fun neither. But here, I'm going to pick a particular couple of verses for you. 28. It says, the Lord will strike you. Deuteronomy 28:28. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Oppressed and plundered. I hear from time to time believers talk, and they just about glorify the work of the devil. Well, oh, this happened, and this happened, and the devil's after me on this, and then this, and then this. That sounds like oppression and plunder. How do you get to oppression and plunder? Well, verse 15, back up a few verses. I, from memory, sort of paraphrased it, but it said this. It shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now you might say, well, that's Old Testament law and so on, but no, it's more than that. And we're not keepers of the law per se as believers. We're made righteous through faith in Christ. Nonetheless, when it says, do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, what if you are sent out with God's purpose in mind? That's the way you avoid oppression and being beat down and the enemy stealing from you. Amen. And we're going to get to, well, does God do this? Does the enemy do this? You know, when God clearly lays out, for instance, in Joshua, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. It's not God bringing the curse upon people. God has said, if you will follow me, there's blessing. If you don't follow me, this is what happens. So when those things happen, it's not God's doing, but it is what happens when we go out away from obeying his voice. Amen. Amen. So if one is sent out with an implied purpose or specific purpose, and if they don't do that, oppression comes, I will tell you this. I can't help but show up every Sunday and minister the word. because I'm sent out for that purpose. And if I don't do that, who is it? The prophet Ezekiel? He tried to be quiet? Or was it Jeremiah? One of them. It was like fire shut up in my bones. Tried to stay silent, but I can't. Amen. That's how we need to view these things. If we're sent out to a purpose, and even individual, I mentioned some troubles this week in our house, caregiver. And I don't know, I guess I'll take the chance that she might check in on me and see this, but anyway, one who's, I believe I was praying and God said to come and take care of. God sent me to. Well, then why are you changing it? If God sent you, you better stick with that. There was another one early on. God sent me for 2 years, only completed one, and then wanted to find fault with me. And I've learned it's caused all kinds of trouble, was going person to person in the church, causing trouble. If God sent you for 2 years, you better fulfill 2 years. Or be smart enough not to tell me that God sent you for 2 years. Right? So how do you get set free from oppression? How are you set at liberty from oppression? Follow the voice of God. Fulfill that purpose that He sends you out for. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2:20. And somebody might say, well, it's hard following out the plan of God. I don't know where the money will come from. I don't know what to, you know, how it'll do this. Or people are just ungrateful, unthankful. Yeah, I know. But living in oppression and beat down is harder. Amen. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Now, there's a clue. It's not about you. It's about Christ in you. It says, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I, pay attention to this next sentence here. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. But notice this, I do not set aside the grace of God. Paul wouldn't write that and say that if it wasn't possible to take the grace of God that's on your life and put it aside. If you're looking at a King James Bible, an older Bible, I believe instead of set aside, it says frustrate. You ever try to do something to help somebody and despite all your efforts, they kind of don't go along with it, and you know, some people can't be helped and all that frustrates you. The grace, the goodness of God can be set aside. It can be frustrated. God's trying to do good things in somebody's life. He's trying to bring them to liberty, and they frustrate His grace. They set aside His grace. How do you do that? Well, I just got to be me. You know, and so not heeding the voice of God, not going as you're sent out. When one sets aside the grace of God, even a believer, they are open to attack and oppression. They're open to attack and oppression. If something's not going right, not good, we all ought to right away say, am I off the track here somewhere? Is there somewhere where I misstepped? There are times when the enemy attacks everybody. If you're on track or not on track. Sometimes while still on track. But we ought to always check our hearts, always check with God. God, have I misstepped in some way, not fulfilling what you sent me out to do? Because if we do, we open ourselves to attack. Amen. John 10 and verse 7, please. John 10, 7. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door." So he says that twice. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Now Jesus uses sheep to compare. And we see that he says, if you enter through him, the door, you go in and out and find pasture. It's a lifestyle of being cared for, supplied, a certain amount of serenity and peace, the shepherd watching over you, to go in and out to a sheep, to pasture water, into the sheepfold for protection. That's a good life for sheep. So Jesus is saying, any other way is thieves and robbers, but he is the way. He is the door. So if we go through the Lord, we'll be well cared for. We'll be protected. You could think of the 23rd Psalm, you know, leads you to green pastures, still waters. Even in the presence of enemies, we have a table spread before us of bounty, of provision, protection from the enemy. The cup, not just filled, but overflowing. He's the God of too much. You know, some people believe for just enough, he'll pour out more. He wants to pour out more. And so Jesus is the door. If we go a different way other than following Jesus, that's where there's oppression, downtrodden, beat up. Again, verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." The word saved there, Greek word sozo, a general purpose word, it means saved, healed, delivered, provided for. Everything's taken care of. That's what saved means. When we ask another person, "Are you saved?" we're usually asking, "Have you made Jesus Lord? You're going to live forever in the presence of the Lord," right? But that word means healed in body. That exact word in some of the healings of Jesus is used. And Jesus saved them all, sozoed. It's translated in our Bibles, healed them all, because we're talking about physical infirmities and so on. So if you want to be saved, follow Jesus. Go in and out with the shepherd. Amen. When you do that, you don't set aside the grace of God. What is the grace of God? It's his ability. It's his strength. It's his wisdom and his knowledge. And it's all of those things coming upon us and in us and helping us. And, those moments when you need God, "I need you and I need you now." And particularly when Pastor Sandy was first injured and we were going through very, very difficult days and times in the hospitals and so on. You know, sometimes I'd make a few minutes and I'd have to pray, "God, give me help, give me grace, strengthen me, because I can't go another step." And he would come upon me. He would give me enough for a few more minutes. And in those days, it was minute by minute for me. It's minute by minute for her. Her life was very much in the balance. And so I was going through that, you know, not to say that I had the hard part. I think she did. But nonetheless, I had to access the grace of God. And in the weeks and months and years afterwards, whenever somebody would say to me, "Oh, you're just really strong," I'd say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, hang on. I'm not. I just learned the necessity and how to access the grace of God for another step, for the next few minutes." And with time, you know, it got to where it wouldn't be just every few minutes, it would be every few hours. I still, this week, one moment particular, "God, here I am again. Oh, I need your grace. I need your ability. I need your strength. I need your anointing. I need your power. I am about to, act like I'm downtrodden and beat up and say something I shouldn't say." God, help me, give me grace. And he always does. Amen. He always does. The grace of God, the presence, the ability of God coming upon you is how you defeat oppression. And when the enemy is trying to stomp you down, you access that grace and you rise up above that. Jesus is that door. Follow him. Fulfill the purpose for which you were sent. No matter what did or could have happened with Pastor Sandy, I would still be here today because that's the purpose for which I was sent. And I don't know if it would have been, there are a couple of individuals I know around the country, a couple of them that lost their spouse, and then looking at our situation where we continue to care for her. I'm thinking of one in particular who said to me, "I think it would be easier if they just had passed and the Lord heals your wounds and you kind of adjust and make the best, all of that. And I struggle with that, What do I say? What do I say to the Lord about that? I said, "Lord, it might have been easier, but I don't think it's better. I don't think it's better." The Bible exhorts us, "Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time or due season you shall reap if we faint not." Well, we're in the faint not category. Carry on. Continue. Access the grace. And things that are attempting to stomp me downtrodden, to oppress me, I have to be sure I don't set aside the grace of God, but I access it. That I follow Jesus in and out to pasture. And there are things about these last few years that we've gone through that are wonderful and remarkable. We have seen the work of God. Hallelujah. Tammy just informed me a little bit this morning. 4th of July was the second anniversary of the miraculous return of speech to Pastor Sandy. And she apparently made some kind of video of that as recently. You don't want that out. I'm halfway in. I got to tell it. Sorry you're in a minister's house. We are examples to people. But she's been making little videos along the way. Because there's people out there that have family members and so on. They're taken care of, and it is not easy. She's going to be mad at me. But she told me this morning she reposted that video she made about that. And there's a certain threshold of subscribers and views in a month. And they pay you. And it's some crazy numbers. She's crossed that threshold and she got a first paying video on that. She doesn't want you to know that, so I didn't tell you. What am I saying? I'm saying that there is victory to be celebrated. There have been some experiences that have made us stronger. But I will tell you this too, is for every day that's difficult for me, just as much for Tammy, as we have done this together. I have really depended on her for a lot. And, you know, your grown children are supposed to have their own lives, right? But she has said, no, I'm taking care of my mom. And that's important. Amen? Amen. But how do you access that grace of God? Well, you ask for it, for one thing. But follow Jesus in and out. He's the door. If he came to set at liberty them that are oppressed, and if to be set means to be sent out with purpose, then go out fulfilling that purpose. Amen. Amen. And in doing that, you're set free from that oppression and that downtroddenness. I'm not saying everything's super easy, but there's times when I just marvel at how good God has been to us. Amen. As we are walking through some things that are sort of difficult. Amen. Yes, I'm happy you're alive too. Praise the Lord. And the Lord's still working. Amen. Amen. And then verse 10. I'm the preacher today, Sandy, okay? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Well, you want to talk about oppression, downtrodden, being stomped down? That's the thief. Yes. That's his work. Yes. That's what he does. And you need to know this, even though God has set blessing and cursing, life and death before us, even though that Old Testament scripture says that he would strike, it is the thief, the enemy, that does these things. It's not God. And God, in fact, is warning, don't go that way. We open ourselves to the enemy that way. So don't ever be confused. If it steals, if it kills, if it destroys, it's the enemy. Then reading on, it says, Jesus speaking, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And more abundantly doesn't translate real well into English. In the Greek language, it was like mega super abundant, bodacious, you know, every word you could think of to elevate it up. That's what it's trying to say right there. We don't have enough English words to express that. So Jesus didn't come just that we'd have it more abundantly, but that we would have life super abundantly. If you see somebody living a super abundant life, don't criticize them. Ask them, how'd you do it? And then follow. Amen. Amen. So Jesus came to bless. The enemy is the one that beats down. Don't ever confuse the two. I know when Pastor Sandy was injured, I know who was behind that. I know who it was. And I have never blamed God, never even entertained that God did this thing. You might ask a question, well, then how does it happen? You know, I don't have all the answers. From time to time, bad things happen to good people. Did we miss steps somewhere? As far as I can tell from seeking God on it, no. But anyway, we do know this. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And we looked at a scripture. I don't remember where it was or exactly what it was. I think last week, but it talks about did this man sin or his parents, right? And Jesus answered, neither. Remember that? But that the glory of God would be made manifest in him. We could be talking about a situation like that for Pastor Sandy. I don't know for sure. I'm just going to humbly say, I don't know for sure. But I know this, that God wants to manifest in her and be glorified. And he has. And he is. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So even in this, you didn't hear it from me, but Tammy is sharing with others help on how to make it through, how to be victorious in some of these things. Amen. And there are people that reach out to her from time to time, and she gives some encouragement to them, all of it because of postings that she makes about caring for Pastor Sandy. Anyway, so Jesus comes that we might have abundant life, and we're going to add verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Amen. Jesus already laid down his life for you and for I, and it purchased every benefit, every blessing, every liberty from oppression. Amen. And we can access those things. To not go in and out, to not follow Jesus, is to be exposed to the thief and give him opportunity to kill and to steal and to destroy. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, please. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. In verse 7 it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What are the earthen vessels? This physical body. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. What is that saying? Well, think back to what I said a few minutes ago. Somebody says to me, you're just such a strong person. I don't think I'm that strong. No, no, no. That excellence of that power was not of me. It was me calling on God and God doing what he does. Amen. And he's no respecter of persons. He will strengthen you every bit as much as he ever strengthened me. He'll make you able to do whatever is necessary to do. When you're facing an unpleasant task or something you're kind of dreading, it's time to say, God, help me. I'm going to go do it. Help me, and I'll do this thing. Give me your grace now. Give me your strength now. Verse 8, this is Paul speaking. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side. Sounds like downtrodden. Sounds like oppression. Yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. So these things are happening to him. It's not like stuff didn't happen to him. The same stuff is happening to him that would happen to anybody else. Yet it didn't crush him. Yet he's not in despair. He says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Listen, stuff's going to happen. The enemy is going to make his run at you. And he's going to land a few blows. How exactly, why exactly, all of that, I can't answer all the time. You can't either. And instead of just sitting down and saying, I'm not moving from here until I have the answer, access the grace of God and get up and get moving forward. Don't need to know why. Don't need to know how. Sometimes why and how are the most dangerous questions you could ever ask. Amen. So they're not destroyed. He says in verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Now, other places, Paul details some of these things. He was beaten with rods. And what that meant was they would put feet in stocks, exposing the bottoms of the feet, no shoes on, and take like a cane, rods, and beat the bottoms of someone's feet until they opened up in cuts and bleeding. He received 39 stripes. How many times? Three or four times. The whip went to his back 39 times. And so he had that. He was stoned. We kind of piece it together that I forget which city in which he was stoned, but he implies that he died. the brothers gathered around him, and he was raised up back to life. Very injured, went to the next city. And when he writes to the Galatians, he talks about, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. And I think what we can see is that he was so bruised and beaten up and swollen, his eyes were swollen shut after being stoned. You know what the target is when you're stoning someone? The head, the face, right? So it makes sense. You know, Paul's being led around by hand. He's swollen in such bad shape. There are those that want to say, well, Paul had an eye disease. He was blind. It doesn't say any such thing. They assume that, you know. But it's immediately after he was raised from the dead, after being stoned, shipwrecked two times, three times. It might have been three times. In the deep, a day and a night, often hungry, often cold. Yeah. In peril of robbers, in peril of his own countrymen. Just everybody wanted to kill him. That's a lot. That's an awful lot. Yet he says it never got him. It never crushed him. It never destroyed him. And when he says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, another place he says, I carry the marks in my body. What's that? Scars. Bruises. And I dare say, at least for the vast majority of us, we've not carried bruises because we are beat up for the Lord. We've not been whipped, you know, and so on. And most of the apostles were crucified, lost their lives. The only one that didn't was the apostle John. He lived a long life and died of natural causes. Every other one of them was killed as a martyr. So what am I saying? I'm saying that it's possible even though all of these things happen. And you know, the more you invade the territory of the devil, the more dangerous you are to him, the more he marks you for oppression, the more he attacks you. You want the attacks to stop? There's only one thing you really that you can do to make the attacks stop. Back off. And if you won't back off, they will continue. However, you can beat the attacks. Amen. We can be, how did he say it? Struck down, but not destroyed. Amen. And God is glorified in the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And boy, he went through a lot that you might call oppression and being downtrodden. But he was victorious in all of it. Amen. John 16:33, please. You'll recall this, you know, one place, Paul, I'm going to have to paraphrase, but he said, these present light afflictions are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul says these present inconveniences, you know, I mean, we're delayed on a flight or something like that, and just, oh, you know. You would get a little inconvenienced. Paul calls them light afflictions, being beat to within an inch of his life, once maybe even losing his life and coming back from the dead because he wasn't done yet and the Lord sent him back. John 16:33, Jesus speaking says this, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, or you could say trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So what is he talking about? He's talking about, I have overcome the world, so even though you go through these things, in the end you win. Even if you were to lay down your life, lose your life, in some kind of an act of martyrdom, you still win. Jesus has overcome the world. So we might say here, Jesus says we'll have tribulation as long as we're in the world. It's part of this world. Now, that word tribulation there, if you look it up, Greek dictionary, it means this: trouble, distress, oppression. There's our word that we started with, that the Lord came to set at liberty those that are oppressed. So, Jesus came to set at liberty those that would suffer tribulation. And he also says, if you're going to be in this world, there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be oppression. Let's go to Romans 10, verse 11, please. James, just to throw him in on the mix here too, said, don't think it's strange when some fiery trial comes to try you. It's going to happen. It does happen. Romans 10, verse 11. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Excuse me. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we often talk about this in terms of eternal salvation. Your spirit man, you get born again, new creature in Christ, live forever with the Lord. But when he says saved, it's generally for everything, including in this life. How do you get saved from trouble in this life? Access that grace. Don't frustrate the grace. Call on the name of the Lord. Just know, I need help, Lord. Help me. What should I do? And when he says what to do, follow that. Do that. Fulfill that purpose to which you're sent out. 2 Corinthians 12:8, please. 2 Corinthians 12:8. Now we're back to the Apostle Paul here. And he had trouble, always plagued. He called a particular thing a thorn in his flesh. And he asked the Lord to remove it from him three times. Might have mentioned this last week also. Three times. I was talking about the word one time with a brother in the Lord. He's got some different ideas, but anyway, you know, he made a point of saying, well, Paul asked the Lord to remove this from him three times, and the Lord said no. I said, that is not what he said. He didn't say no. Verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me, and he said to me, no. That's not what he said. But a lot of people conduct themselves as if the Lord said no. Sometimes God's answer is no. But I read that it says all the promises in him are yes and amen. Well, that's the promises. So you better know what the promises are, and the answer is yes. So, verse 9 again, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This is the very thing that I was talking about when I didn't have enough, when I couldn't move on. In my weakness, I knew I need the grace of God. It's his grace that's sufficient. It's his ability. And so I went to the Lord and I asked, I called on the name of the Lord. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I call on his grace. God, I need your ability, your grace, your strength right now. And in my weakness, he brings me through. I'll remind you, most of us want out. But the way out is through. Paul wanted out. Take this thing away. And oh, how many times I've wanted that too. But the Lord doesn't take it away. He says, access my grace while you're weak like that, and it is enough to take you through. It is what will bring you to liberty. It is what will bring you to a victory. Reading on, Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. In other words, he's saying, I'm happy to talk about how weak I am, because what you see happening is God's grace and strength coming upon me and bringing me through. That glorifies God. And it doesn't do any good to talk about how strong you are anyway. That kind of self-reliance and self-confidence will lead to failure. Amen. Amen. Again, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's that grace coming upon. The power of Jesus comes and rests upon you. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, it's all the bad things that happened to him. Here comes along some kind of trouble. Trouble shows itself, and Paul says, oh, well, I know what to do here. Watch this. This is going to be good. Amen. Amen. That's really confident in the Lord to be like that, right? And to the measure that we are moved and distressed tells me how much we've grown in understanding this. And I'll tell you what, no matter what comes, you can say, Lord, I need you, I need your grace. I'm weak right now, I need your strength. Be glorified, help me. Amen, amen. Philippians 4 and verse 12. Philippians 4:12. Again, Paul writes, I know how to be abased. What does that mean? It means to have nothing. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is saying, there's been times of plenty. There's been times of lack. There's been times when I've been hungry, and there's times when I'm full. But I have learned no matter what comes my way, I can make it. I can come through. You know how people will kind of stir themselves up and say, I got this. I got this. No. Or you try to help somebody else. You got this. You got this. No. You, depending on Jesus, have got this. I, calling on the name of the Lord, have got this. Or maybe more accurately, just say it this way. Jesus, you got this. And I'm just going to tag along with you. Amen. Amen. Just like you might grab the hand of a child and lead them through trouble and difficulty, you know. There's a fire in the house. Grab them babies and pull them out, right? That's what you need to see. Jesus, take my hand and pull me out of the fire. Show me the way. Lead the way. Amen. Amen. While I'm on illustrating it that way, you know, we want, Lord, put the fire out while I sit here. No, he's not going to put the fire out. He's going to lead you the way of deliverance and take you out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, closing now, to set at liberty, back in Luke 4:18, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. You can see even in that word set, sent out for God's purposes. He doesn't remove the oppression. He doesn't remove the difficulty, the trouble. What he does is sends us to his purpose, and that's where the liberty is. That's where deliverance is. That's where overcoming strength is. Jesus is that door, access. Call on the name of the Lord. Follow him, And with that, even though, like the Apostle Paul, we may have setbacks, we may have things that come against us, we may see some trouble, but the Lord will grab hold of our hand and take us through to the place of deliverance. Amen. 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 I guess I'll tell it one more time. We're closing here, but what, a couple years ago, Pastor Webb and I, going on one of our adventures, went to the Boundary Waters canoeing, right? And had this trip laid out by the outfitter that set us up with the canoes and all the equipment, took us out to the drop-off point and dropped us off, and there we were in the wilderness. And when the outfitter set up this trip, you know, I told him, well, we're a couple of older fellows, but we still got some fire in us, you know. So that was left to his interpretation as to how difficult of a trip that he should set us on. You know, I still wanted some challenge. But we got started, and we didn't get all that far, and we didn't talk about it till later, but I realized, whew. You know, we can't just call him to come pick us up. We're middle of some river, lake, up there. Nobody can come just pick you up. I mean, if something was life-threatening, yeah, you know, get a helicopter or something like that, but we weren't going to call no stinking helicopter. But it was challenging, very challenging. That's a great lesson. I've taught, he's taught in his congregation as well. Of course, he makes it sound like our lives were in danger, but they weren't really. It was just really tough. But to sum it up, we both figured out, as brilliant as we are, the way out of this situation was to complete the journey. We had to get all the way to where we were going to be taken up out of the water. The way out is through. So that's applicable today. The things that the enemy throws at us, the way out of them is to successfully go through them. Now, I don't like that. You might not like that either. But successfully coming through glorifies God. And it makes great testimonies. It glorifies God. So don't think about God, send the helicopter and pluck me out. Thank God. Strengthen me, encourage in my thinking, in my body to paddle all the miles, to pick up all the stuff in the canoe and make 6 trips back and forth carrying all the stuff, and then carry the canoe and put it in the next lake and go some more. Thank God, strengthen me to the task I must complete. You're sent out. So don't think you can just sit still. Be sent out. Fulfill God's purposes. Call on His name to be saved. Access His grace. Don't set it aside. Don't frustrate His grace. And by His grace, you'll succeed and you'll overcome. Amen? That's the gospel that Jesus preached. He came to set at liberty all who are oppressed. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank You for Your word today. And in a measure, the enemy has attacked all of us. And there may be even ongoing situations right now. Lord, just right now, we lift our situations to You. We lift our difficulties. We lift up to You the attacks of the enemy, these various things that press us. Lord, when we are weak, then we are strong. We call on the name of the Lord right now. Jesus, come, lead us, save us. Give us, God, Your grace that we're able to fulfill every task that is necessary. Strengthen us to each difficult day. By Your grace is more than sufficient. We shall overcome, and we shall come out the other side victorious, and then glorify You for all the great things that You have done. Father, we thank You for all of this today. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.